Book of Matthew, chapter 8, and starting from verse 1.
When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Now here, when he says coming from the mountain, you know, the Sermon of the Mountain, we know. He was giving sermon on the mountain. Now he finishes sermon, he's coming down. And as he's coming down, all the people followed him. And while he's coming from the mountain, bottom of the mountain, here comes the leper. In those days, leper, they cannot come too close. And when they're walking, they have to say, unclean, unclean. Anybody touches them, those people get unclean and they have to take a bath. And so this man standing afar and saying to Jesus, Jesus, I know if you want to cleanse me or make me clean, you can. That means he had the desire to be clean. But he didn't know Jesus Christ wanted to heal him or not. So he says, I know you can heal me. Do you want me to be healed? And so, see what Jesus Christ does. Verse 3.
And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean.
Now here this man, he not only asked Jesus that if you want me to heal, you can heal, but he bent down and he worshipped him. Maybe he was on the floor. So when Jesus Christ touches him on his head, he did not even see that he's touching him. But Jesus touched him and he says, I want you to be healed. And then as soon as he touched him and said that the leprosy was healed, he says he was cleansed. That means he was completely healed. Many people today are Christians in America. They are saying it is not God's will to heal everybody. They said some people can get healed, some people cannot get healed. God cannot heal everybody. But here Jesus Christ saying, I want you to be healed. There is not a single scripture in the Bible that God doesn't want to heal his children. Even Jesus Christ said, healing is the children's bread. That means God's children should be healed. That's God's plan. Today they are teaching, when you are sick, you have to think that God put the sickness on you. And if God doesn't want to heal us, that's okay. But the same time, the same teaching they give, same time they go to the doctor and they get the medicine. And they even go to church and pray. But the pastor doesn't lay hand and pray, or pastor doesn't proclaim that we have a healing service. They are against. Then I tell these people, if God has given you this sickness, and if you think that that is God teaching you something, then ask God to give you a little bit more horrible sickness. You say, if you get a headache, say, God, give me cancer, or give me tuberculosis, or give me some big disease, if it is your will. But they don't ask that. The same time, if God gave you something, why you go to doctor to oppose God, to fight with God? And so from that, I know they are wrong. God wants us to be healed. God wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous in every way. Now, you don't want your child to suffer, do you? No. Nobody wants their children to suffer. The same way, we are children of God, and God doesn't want us to suffer unnecessarily. So this leprosy is not ordinary disease. In Bible, there are different kinds of leprosy. But here doesn't say what kind of leprosy this man had. In leprosy, they lose their fingers, their nose, their toes, and their face looks ugly and people are afraid of them. But Jesus Christ didn't think anything that if I touch him, I'll be unclean. I have to take a bath. Other people will say something. He was concerned about that person. Even though that person was ugly outside, but his heart was good. How do you know? He worshiped the Lord. He started worshiping him. And humbly he said, I want to be clean. I want to be healed. Would you like me to be healed? And Jesus Christ says, yes, I will. And the man was completely healed. And then Jesus said something to him. Let's read verse 4. Matthew 8:4.
And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying to this man, don't tell anybody. Is it possible? That man was looking ugly and everything, and all of a sudden he looks nice and he said, don't tell anybody. Why Jesus Christ was saying, if he says by mistake to somebody, you know what? I was a leper and Jesus healed me. Right away they are going to say, I don't believe it. One thing. Another thing, don't touch us. Because leper cannot touch anybody. So what they have to do? Jesus Christ said, do one thing before you tell anybody. Go to the priest. Moses had the law. If anyone has a leprosy and that person get healed, he has to go to the priest and priest has to check and then priest has to approve that your disease is gone. Then they will say, do some sacrifice. And then the priest will say, turtle dove or lamb or some kind of sacrifice, and they will do the sacrifice just like a doctor's certificate. Now you are okay, you can go to the community, you can do the job and everything, and then he got the permission. Then you can tell everybody. And so if somebody wants to know, where is that law? It's in Leviticus. It's in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. Okay, let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5.
And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him.
The centurion means the man who has 100 soldiers under him. Means he is a big officer, and he comes to Jesus Christ and says, my servant has some kind of disease. Now he might be paralyzed with a severe arthritis disease, because he's saying this man is grievously tormented. And so a crippling disease, painful disease. His servant might be crying out and the situation is so bad. So he comes to Jesus Christ and tells the story. This is what my servant is having problem. Jesus Christ said, okay, I'll come to your house and I will heal him. See what this man says. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
This man is saying to Jesus, I am not worthy. This man was not a beggar. He was not a poor man. He was an officer. He might have good living quarters or good house. But he said, I'm not worthy. So what he's trying to say, just speak the word. I know you can say my servant will be healed. You just say healed and he'll be healed. Just say the word. And so he just gave a little bit more explanation why he's saying that. Read the verse 9.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
But he said, I have authority. Tell my servants, go, they go, come, they come, and they are all officers. So you could do the same. You could just say the word, and my servant will be healed. So the Jesus Christ was very happy. He did not give him right away answer to him what Jesus Christ is going to do. But he took that opportunity to tell the audience, see what kind of man is this? Because that centurion was not Jewish man. that centurion was the heathen man. That centurion had a lot of faith, and he said to Jesus, just speak the word. See what Jesus said. Verse 10.
When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
Now, all these Israeli people were listening. So Jesus Christ took the advantage to tell these people, look at this man, he's a heathen man. He's a very good officer. He has power. He has money. He might have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for this man. Nothing happened. But he found out that Jesus Christ has power, that he can heal my servant. And he says, I never saw this kind of faith in Israel. So he was working for Israeli people. He said, I came to the lost sheep. And he did not go to any other town, but just the Israeli people. But those people did not believe him, did not follow him, did not listen to him. So now this centurion just standing there waiting for his reply. Read verse 11.
And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.
Now he's just saying east and west. But another scripture says east, west, south, north, they can come all over the world. And he says, all these people, now he's not talking about Jewish people. He's talking about Gentiles. Means all people all around the world, they will come. And where are they coming? They are coming in the kingdom of God. And then they will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where? In the kingdom of heaven. When the church goes as a bride, they will be banquet in the heaven. And the word of God says all the friends will be invited. John the Baptist says, I am a friend. So all the Jewish people, all the Old Testament prophet and all those people call friends. And so all of those people will be there. The bride will be there. The children of God will be there. So he says they will be feast. And all these people who coming east and west and south and north from all over the world, and they will be able to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what's going to happen to the Israeli people who are not listening to him? Verse 12.
But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now when you read this scripture, sounds so cruel. And when I was young, I didn't know all this theology. Each time I read this, I got confused. He said the children of the kingdom shall be cast out outer darkness. They shall be weeping and gnashing their teeth and grinding their teeth and crying. Who are those people? Children of the kingdom of God. They will be cast out in hell. And all these people, other people coming from east, west, north and south, they will be in the kingdom of God, sitting with the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thought, who are those people? Now I know. All those people are born again Christians. They are coming in the kingdom of God. But the children of Israel, they were actually called the children of God in the beginning. But they did not walk according to the will of God. If you read in the book of Jeremiah, he says, they did not listen to my commandment, so I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. There are two meanings. One, Jesus Christ already made the covenant with his blood on the cross. So we are in the new covenant. Another covenant he is going to make when we go into the millennium. That's the time those Israeli people will be blessed. But now, as present, from Jesus Christ until today, if any Israeli or any Jewish people want to go to heaven, they have to go through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, you cannot go to my Father. So now he's saying, you people are not listening. So you think that you are the children of the kingdom of heaven, but you will be cast out in the outer darkness. So that's what now I know. But before that, I thought all these good people will be gone to hell and the bad people will come into heaven. How it happens? But the bad people who confess their sins, receive Jesus Christ, they can be murderer, they can be prostitute, they can be anybody. They can be forgiven, and God will take them to heaven. Okay, verse 13.
And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Now all this lecture he gave it to the Jewish people, and just the centurion or some other people, they were waiting to hear from Jesus. And that person didn't say, I just say the word. Why are you taking so long? Just you'd have said the word, I would have gone my way. Now you're lecturing to other people. That's what happens if somebody doesn't have patience. They will find a fault. Just like Jairus said, my daughter is almost going to die. She might be dead now. Please come and heal her. Jesus says, okay, I'm coming. Here comes the lady with the issue of blood and touches his garment. And Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? Now just think that you are a Jairus. What are you going to say? Whoever touched you, forget about it. My daughter is dying. Come and heal her first. But he didn't say anything. He was waiting, and the other man comes and he said, don't bother, master. Your daughter is already dead. He was not angry at Jesus. Jesus said, don't listen to that story. Your daughter is alive, and she will be all right. The same thing happened to the centurion story. I'm not calling you to my house. Just say the word. Here Jesus Christ is preaching to those people, saying to those people who is going to go to hell and who is going to go to heaven and what kind of party will be there. But this man or these people did not say a word and did not walk away. And then Jesus Christ says, go your way. Your servant is already healed. Whatever you believed, that's what you're going to get. That's what he said. And the word of God says, that same hour, same minute, same second. What time Jesus said it? Oh, such and such a time. That's the time person got healed. God does miracles. He can send the word thousands of miles and do the job. We have to be believing. Jesus says, as you believed, that's what you're going to get. And that's the time that man was healed. Okay, let's read verse 14.
And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever.
If you want to read this story, we don't have time. Mark chapter 1, 29 to 34. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. And the story is given, but the Matthew giving in a short form. So we are going to go according to what Matthew is saying. Now Matthew is saying, Peter's mother-in-law had a fever and she was lying on the bed. Now when you hear this, seems like, well, not a big disease, just the fever. Why you bother Jesus Christ to come and heal the fever? But the fever can take all your energy. If somebody had the high fever, they would know. You will not have strength to pick up one tissue. Because I had one time very high fever, and one man came and said, I'm going to pray for you. And this man was smoking and drinking and not a good Christian. I didn't feel like even getting up. He prayed and cried and he left. And then came one old man. He had the whole basket on his head. He was selling something, but he was going to church, where the same church I was going. And he came and he didn't know even my language, and I didn't know his language, but I could understand a little bit. And he came, put the basket down, and he says, Brother Peter, we are going to pray. God is going to heal you. That time I was not a minister, I was a believer. And so first man came and prayed. I didn't get up because I didn't have any respect for that man. But this man came, I came on my knees, and we prayed. And as soon as he prayed, I got sweating like a pouring sweat. And completely healed. And I told my mom, Mom, give me something to eat. She said, a few minutes ago, you didn't want to drink water or nothing. What happened? I said, I'm healed. Fever is not an ordinary thing. One of my sister died with a high fever. I don't know what kind of fever this lady had. But Jesus Christ went and he said he just touched her hand. and she was healed. And here it doesn't say immediately healed, but in a book of Mark, if you read, he said immediately she got healed and start ministering to them. Now we can see Jesus was not alone. He had already his disciples with him. So ministering to all these disciples coming out of the bed, you have to cook, you have to give water, you have to do so many services. But she was happy to do it. And then if you read a little bit following verse 16, Matthew 8:16.
When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick.
Here in Matthew, just says in the evening many people came. If you read in the book of Mark, he said whole city, whole town came there, and Jesus Christ prayed for everybody whole night. And then Jesus Christ went to the mountain. And next day they start searching Jesus. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And some of the disciples, they thought he might be in the mountain. And they found him. And they said, Jesus, those people are, all people are waiting for you to come down and heal them. But Jesus says, no, we have to go to another cities. Read the verse 17.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Matthew is quoting from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Why is he saying? Because that day many people got healed. Whole town got healed. And so he reminded that scripture, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Please read.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
And so the Matthew is saying this scripture is fulfilled. What Isaiah said, that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross of Calvary, and he is going to heal many. And with his stripes, we are going to be healed. But this Matthew wrote after Jesus Christ dead and risen, because the book was written later on. Isaiah says, with his stripes, we are healed. Peter says, we were healed. When? When Jesus Christ died on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, please read.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
See? By whose stripes we were healed. And so, we have to believe it. Jesus Christ came into this world to die on the cross of Calvary. Now, some people believe he died for our sins. And when they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't go to another God. They believe that he is able to forgive our sins. But they don't believe with his stripes we are healed. Just like going to another God when you go into doctor. You understand the point? When we don't go to another God to get our sins to be forgiven, but we go to somebody, our sickness to be healed. So he's saying, with his stripes we are healed. We have to believe it. The salvation plan on the cross is fulfilled. What happened there? Healing for your body, salvation for your soul, and prosperity for your life. Everything is done on the cross. Because Jesus Christ, he became poor for you. With his poverty, you can be rich. That means there is prosperity, there is healing, and there is forgiveness. But some denomination just take for forgiveness for sins, but they don't preach about healing. Some of them take forgiveness and healing, but do not talk about prosperity. But there are some people talk about healing, talk about forgiveness, talk about prosperity. So everything is done on the cross of Calvary. That's why Jesus Christ said, it is finished. So all the plan of salvation is finished, and all the plan of salvation comes in a package. Okay, verse 18. Matthew 8:18.
Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side.
Because here many people came, Jesus Christ cast out the devils, he spoke the word and they were healed, and many people got healed. whole night he was praying. Then he went to the mountain. Then they were looking for him. And then they called him down. But Jesus Christ said, no, we have to go to another side. And that's why he saw the multitude. But he told his disciples, I'm not going to stay in this town. We have to go. And so let's go to the other side of the town. And so let's see what happens. Verse 19. Matthew 8:19.
And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
Now here he says, this scribe means is a highly educated in the Bible, a scholar. He might be seeing all this miracle Jesus Christ did. And so he was impressed. He never saw this many miracles. And Matthew already quoted that Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled here. And so just like I went to one town, and morning until evening, I was praying for people, and all people got healed. And this man, the pastor of the church, was crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, just like a book of Acts open in front of my eyes, I never saw this thing happen. So this is the thing happened to this scribe. He knew everything about the word of God, but he never saw this miracle in his life. So he said, Master, I want to follow you wherever you go. It's a good desire, right? As a highly educated man, knows the Bible, Jesus Christ would say, hey, I need you. You are a scribe, you are a knowledgeable man, follow me. But see what Jesus Christ said to him. Verse 20.
And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.
He says, foxes has the holes, birds has the nest, but the Son of Man means Jesus talking about himself, but I don't have a place to lay down my head. Now somebody saying, why, he was not sleeping day and night? No, in this chapter he was sleeping, you will see. But he's not talking about sleeping. He's talking about there is no place like my own. I don't have a house. I'm just going town to town. Are you ready for it? That's what he was trying to say. Then another person comes. Now this person also is a disciple, he says. Read verse 21.
And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
Now he says, one of his disciples. He had many disciples, one of that like Nicodemus, and there are many. And so out of those people, Jesus Christ chose only 12 and they made them apostles. We will be reading that in chapter 10. But he was maybe wanted to follow Christ, but we don't know his name, so we don't know he came or he didn't come. Now the another person, when he heard, and so other men might be thinking, I can do that. So he says, okay, I want to come, but the problem is I have to go and bury my dad and come. Sound like good thing the man wants to do. His father is dead and he wants to bury his father. But to me, it sounds like his father was not dead. You know what the people do? I want to give up my job, or I want to do something, but I want to take care of my family. There was one lady. I said, why are you not getting married? Oh, I want to take care of my mom and dad. I said, how long are you going to take? When they die, then I'll get married. I said, they might live until 80, 90. You will be old lady that time. That's the kind of thing this man was doing. His father is not dead, but he's thinking, my father is old. Let me go and take care of him. When he dies, when I'll bury him, then I'll be free to work for the Lord. And that sounds good also. But if his father was really dead, he would have said, Jesus, come to my house. Heal my father. We don't know his age. He might be in his middle age, or he might be old. What Jesus said to him. Let's read further.
But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead.
That sounds bad, but Jesus Christ gave him the right answer. He says, you are spiritual? You want to do spiritual work? Then don't worry about the dead people. Your father might be not born again. You might have other brothers or sisters or some other relatives. Let them do that burial business. You just follow me. I don't know he followed or not. But here only two examples are given. One is a scribe and another person who says, I want to bury my father. But in the Luke, there are other examples. Go to the Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62.
And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Now he is saying, you decided to follow Christ. You want to do the kingdom of God. You want to give up everything. He already said to one person, let dead bury dead. One person says, you have to follow. Give up everything and just follow me. And this man says, I agree to everything. Only thing what I have to do, just go and tell my family goodbye. Actually what he was going to say, you know what, mom? You know what, dad? I want to do the Lord's business. I want to follow. Give me your permission. What they're going to say? They're going to say, no, just like my father. My father was a minister. He went to Bible college. He knows the Lord's work. When I asked him, he said, son, you don't have to give up the Bombay city and go like that. You stay here and do it. When I asked my mom, she said, even though your father says, the brother says, your boss says, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to cry. I said, Mom, tonight, if I die, can you hold my soul? She said, no. Then I said, let me go. I was already sold out to Jesus. If this man goes and try to take their advice, they might change his mind. That's why Jesus said, now you decided to put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Because if you go and tell them, they are going to discourage you. Just like somebody got saved. And then he goes to his friend and says, you know what? I gave up all this. I don't smoke anymore. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to have any friendship. What they're going to do? They are going to entice him and pull him down and will not allow him to grow until he's strong in the Lord. So Jesus Christ says, you know, if you really made up your mind, you don't look back. And all of these things I was reading when I was young, I decided, I don't care what happens, and I am not going to listen to anybody. I'm going to follow Christ. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying. Don't go and take anybody's advice. Follow me. Okay, let's read verse. Okay, verse 23. Matthew 8:23.
And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep.
This boat is not a small boat. Here he's saying he was asleep. Means Jesus was sleeping. And now he sings, but the Mark chapter 4 verse 38, he says he was sleeping on a pillow. So that means he was a sound asleep. And somebody will say, didn't he say the foxes has holes and bird has nest and Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his hand. Now he's sleeping on the pillow. So he was lying or something. No, he was saying, I don't have my own house. Even the boat was not his boat. And so when he was sound asleep because he was tired. Why? I has told you, he went to Peter's mother-in-law's house. He prayed for her and many people came. Whole night he could not sleep. And morning they were searching him. And he didn't get a time to sleep. So physically he was tired. So as soon as he went to the boat, he fell asleep. And see what happens. Let's read verse 25.
And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm.
Okay, now in another book, if you read, he did not rebuke them first. He calmed the storm first and then rebuked. Somebody will say, people were dying there and he just starts scolding them. If somebody, enemy, wants to say something, they will. But he calmed the storm first. And then he talked to them, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? You have very little faith. Why he said that? When Jesus Christ said, we are going to go to other side. And these people are not ordinary people. They are fishermen. They know how to go from one side to another side. They might have gone for a billion times. And he says the waves were going over the ship. And so Jesus Christ calmed the sea and the winds. He says winds, not wind, winds and sea. So the wind was maybe coming from all over. So he calmed all the winds and all the sea was calm. And he says, there was a great calm. Wind and rain and waves and everything. And when Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea and everything was calm and a great calm, great peace was there. And that's the time disciples start thinking, how foolish we were. Jesus Christ was in our boat. So verse 27, they marveled. And what they said? Let's read.
But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
They are saying, what kind of man is this? Means, he is not ordinary man. Jesus Christ was saying, he is the Son of Man. He might be Son of God, or he might be God himself. No man can do these things. And their faith was a little bit increased. Verse 28.
And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way.
Now, just think about disciples. They might be thinking, mother-in-law's house, Simon Peter's, so many people, we didn't have a sleep. When we came to the sea, we were almost drowned. Now we're coming peacefully out. Here is the demonic person. And it was not ordinary. He says, people were not passing by because this man was very fierce. And he was maybe beating people and destroying people. Because if you read in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, they tell only one man. Matthew says there were two men. Somebody will say, your Bible doesn't tell the true stories. Mark says one man, Luke says one man. Why Matthew says two men? So which story is real? What I do, always defend the word of God. Don't get confused. Now if Matthew says two people and Mark and Luke says only one, then there might be one person was not that horrible. One was very bad. And so the one person was very bad, that's the person they are talking about. And the other person might be demon possessed, but not worse than the first one. And so here, Matthew says there are two people, and they coming out of this, and they were very, very bad people. Means they can kill somebody. Nobody was going in that way. And so the disciples might be thinking, what in the world is happening to us? But see what happened, verse 29.
And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?
Now see what the disciples said. When the sea and the waves calmed down, they said, what kind of man is this? Right? Here the devil is telling them, they are listening. Devil is telling them, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And so these people might be thinking, wow, this devil knows who Jesus is. And we are thinking, what kind of man is this? The devil was saying, why did you come to torment us before the time? That means they know one of these days they are going to go to hell. But why Jesus Christ is coming to harass us now? And so the word of God is saying, the devil also knows who Jesus is. But there are Jewish people, they don't know who Jesus is. Muslim people, they don't know who Jesus is. Hindu people, they don't know Jesus is. And some of the Christian, they don't know what Jesus can do. But here devil is saying, you are Jesus, you are the Son of God. And book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, if you read, he says, devil believes there is a one God. And what he does, he trembles. Please read.
Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
What does it mean? James says, you believe there is a one God, you're doing good thing. But devil believes and they tremble. You're not afraid of God. The devils are afraid of God. That means you believe there is a God, but you do not do what God wants you to do. There are people say, I believe in Jesus, and they go to bar. I believe in Jesus, and they do any kind of sinful activity. What is the use of believing in Jesus and not obeying him? That's what he is trying to say. You believe in Jesus, but you don't obey him. He says, you say, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what my Father says, so you will be going to hellfire. Or here's the word of God is saying, devil believes there is a one God, and they tremble. We should fear God and tremble before him and worship him and love him. We don't have to be afraid of God, but we have to give respect to God, more respect to God than anybody else. Matthew chapter 8, verse 30.
And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding.
Now, why is saying this? These demon-possessed people are saying, you are Jesus, you are the Son of God, and why did you come to torment us? But the Matthew is saying, in the meantime, they were pigs, and the pig farmers were taking care of their pigs in the mountain. Matthew doesn't say how many pigs, but they were almost 2,000 pigs. But they wanted to go out of this man or these people and go to the pigs. As soon as he said go, these demons came out of these people and went to those swines. And just picture, those swines start running like a crazy from the mountain and going down, there is a sea, and they're running from the mountain like a crazy. They never saw their pigs acting like that. They might have said, wait, stop, whatever. They might have tried their best, but they were not listening. They were very crazy. Let's read.
So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters.
Now he says herds. When you say herds, so many pigs. Yeah. Mark. I'm sure. Mark 5:30.
And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea.
They were about 2,000, and they choked, drowned in the sea. Now just picture, maybe one farmer or three farmers or four farmers, and they lost all their pigs running like crazy. They might have running for 100, 200 miles speed. So they ran, and when these people came, they're already dead. Now they don't know what happened. When they're coming, they saw these demon-possessed people sitting in the right mind, wearing good clothes, talking with Jesus. So they knew this is what happened. They might have said, Jesus Christ killed all the pigs. So they go to the town and get all their relatives and their whole city people come out. Let's read, go back to the Matthew chapter 8, verse 33.
And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts.
All these people, they went to the city, and all the city men came. They're like a gangster. They didn't come to worship Jesus. They came to fight. They came all together to telling Jesus, get out of our town. We don't need you here. They don't care, these two demonic people, destroying everybody. Nobody can go that way. And they had a lot of problem. Now these 2,000 demonic spirits is in their town, right? The pigs are already dead. But the spirits of the devil is already there. And they might be possessing many people. So they need Jesus. But they're saying, get out of my town. Mark says a little better. Let's go to the Mark and I'm going to finish it there. Mark chapter 5, verse 13 to 20.
And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
See here, the man is wearing good clothes and is in right mind, and these people say they were afraid. Afraid of what? This man was not doing any violence. He was sitting with the right mind, listening to Jesus, having good clothes. Before that he was naked. Why they are afraid? Why they are afraid? Because they're thinking, because of this man, all our business is ruined. So we don't want Jesus. Okay, read further.
And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel.
Matthew didn't say this, but the Mark says, Jesus says, go to your town, and tell other people what Jesus Christ has done. But the other people, not only they say, get out of my town, but he say, get out of our region. This man did so much work, and many people came to hear Jesus Christ anyhow. Jesus Christ did signs and wonders and miracles, but many people did not understand what is right and what is wrong. Today also people doing the same. They are saying wrong right and right wrong. They want demonic people in their town and pigs and swines. And they want Jesus and his disciples get out of the town. So let's pray. We have a little bit time remaining. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Let's pray that whatever the time is left, let's tell the whole world, Jesus Christ is coming soon. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Thank you for your high calling. We have decided to follow you. Be with us, sanctify us, protect us, and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.